What you are about to hear is the story of a connection that was made between a television series and a viewer's life. Our television set sits in the corner of our living room, befriending us, educating us, inspiring us, making us laugh or cry or tear our hair out in frustration. It is a far more constant companion than most of the friends we will ever make, or even our family. The You and Who books are the story of that companionship, that connection, as told by the people who watch the programmes that make us come alive, chiefly, of course, Doctor Who. This podcast will relate some of those stories. You're listening to You and Who Talking, and I'm J.R. Southall, the creator and chief editor of the series. Hi, I'm JR.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And you're listening to You and Who Talking, and I'm going to make no apologies for the fact that we are back to a very popular subject that comes up time and time again in these in these readings, and this is a particularly lovely example of it, I think.
I think so too. Here, Andrew is talking about being able to relive Doctor Who episodes in the days before VHS tapes and so on through Target novels.
We all know that feeling. So this is a particularly universal subject for the essays, shall we say.
Well, those of us of a certain age, perhaps, JR.
Yeah. Oh, well, yes, that's absolutely fair enough, of course.
I was thinking about this after listening to Andrew's essay, and I thought, you know what? Target novels were almost the ultimate spoiler. Before we saw some of these stories, we were getting them spoiled almost through the novels before we saw the TV episodes. Today, that would be heresy. You know, you'd always want to see the TV episode first. But back then, it was really quite normal.
Yes, it was, of course. Well, we didn't know we'd ever get to see the television programme here in the UK. So reading the Target books, we didn't think of it as being spoiled. But I suppose by the time we actually got to watch them, we knew the stories so well, it was like the entire thing had been spoiled.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, when I came into fandom in a big way in the 80s, and I was looking at things like Peter Haining's A Celebration, I was getting rundowns of every story. And I've got to say, I think I knew what happened in every story, either because I'd read the Target novel or I'd read something like A Celebration before I ever saw the TV episodes. I don't think there was a single TV episode I didn't really know about before I saw it, unless it was first run stuff.
Yeah. Well, of course, over here in Great Britain, we had the first run stuff that we grew up with, because you were always on delays and you had them going around in circles with repeat runs starting again where they'd finished and stuff like that. So it would all have been slightly different for you. But yeah, here in the UK, I suppose the Target books that were the biggest spoilers were the sort of first, second and maybe third Doctor ones that were, you know, had fallen out of people's memories.
Definitely. Whereas out here, it was probably only the first and second Doctor, the black and white stuff that didn't really get much of a regular airing.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you which one was the biggest spoiler. The Five Doctors, where, of course, they released the book before it was on the telly.
Exactly. I've actually written about the Five Doctors for You and Target. And someone actually said to me, are you writing about how it was released in the shops early? I said, no, because I don't live in the UK. So it wasn't that way for me.
Oh, I'm sure it'll get mentioned in somebody else's essay in that book. I'm sure it will. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, shall we give Andrew Curnow a listen then?
I think so.
This chap's got a lovely reading voice, and this is a great essay.
It sure is.
Mission to the Unknown by Andrew Curnow. When my brother was 9, he was given the Target book adaptation of The Three Doctors for his birthday. This was the late 70s, and although to me that feels like only about 10 minutes ago, it turns out that it's been more than 30 years. Nowadays, your average Who fan has a shelf full of stories on DVD. They've got hundreds of episode guides available online at the click of a button, and they probably drop lines of dialogue written before they were even born into everyday conversation. I can't be the only one who greets the British climate with a freak weather conditions in the landing area, can I? But back in the 1970s, Doctor Who would air on the Saturday, and then gone. No online polls, no BBC Three repeat the next day, not even a flurry of opinion a few weeks later in the pages of a magazine. is hard to imagine now, impossible even, and just describing it makes it sound like such a primitive age. In that context, it's no wonder that my brother and I used to kick up such a fuss every year when the Sunday school Christmas party was held on a Saturday afternoon. The outrage and righteous indignation have long since faded, but until the release of the video 15 years later, part 4 of The Power of Kroll was as lost to us as Fury from the Deep or The Savages. So when my brother was given The Three Doctors, well actually, the cover proclaimed the story to be called Doctor Who and The Three Doctors, which to my mind makes 4 Doctors, but we'll leave that quibble aside for now. When he was given The Three Doctors, we literally knew nothing about it, apart from there being 3, possibly 4 Doctors in it, of course. I was born in 1971, and my first Doctor Who memory of any substance is the very, very end of The Hand of Fear. My brother was born in 1968, and can vaguely recall watching the omnibus repeat of Planet of the Spiders that aired the day before Robot. So to all intents and purposes, neither of us had ever seen anybody playing the Doctor other than Tom Baker. So the fact that we even knew of the existence of previous incarnations was due solely to the Target books. I'd go so far as to say that until my brother got hold of the making of Doctor Who, we neither of us even knew the now household names of Hartnell, Troughton and Pertwee. It's a level of ignorance that's difficult to comprehend today, but if you can put yourself into that mindset, and then imagine being given the book of the 3 or 4 Doctors, if books with just one Doctor are exciting, and crikey, by this time we had between us at least the Auton Invasion and a couple of the Hartnell ones, so we could vouch for the fact that they were exciting, then how much more exciting must a book be with 3 of them? 2 chapters in, and my brother was already theorising about how the story might progress. The jail guards, which believe me look a whole lot more expensive in the book, had been sent to contact the 3rd Doctor, and Bruv had the thought that perhaps they'd been sent by the 2nd Doctor. You may scoff, readers of the 21st century, knowing that Omega was behind it all, but back then... To this day, my brother's idea has stuck in my head, partly because it sounds like a story that's even more exciting than the real one. What kind of timey-wimey trouble is the 2nd Doctor in, that he needs to summon his future self? But mainly because, looking back, it sums up how exciting it was back then when we knew so little, when so much was totally unknown. It was exciting, though. That's the point. To get a new Target was like getting a brand new, just-made story, and one about which you would know nothing, apart from what you could glean from the gorgeous cover and the lurid blurb. I don't know why exactly my brother and I both got into Doctor Who in the first place, but I feel sure that what kept us hooked, what fed that excitement in the long weeks between episodes, and the even longer months between seasons, was finding out new stuff. We certainly knew there was a lot of it. Nowadays, I can reel off the titles of every Doctor Who story in order, but back then, just getting hold of a list of stories would have been a struggle. So when, for example, the BBC continuity announcer helpfully billed The Stones of Blood as the 100th story, it gave us a sense of a back catalogue that was so massive, so huge, that it would be impossible to ever know it all. You might think all these years later, with the advent of home video and its DVD successor, that things would be different. And it's true that me and Bruv have now seen many an old story. Yes, even The 3 Doctors. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. What with all those books, those NAs and MAs, and EDAs and PDAs, not to mention Big Finish's many audio ranges. There's now so much Doctor Who out there that it really is impossible, or at least so my bank manager keeps telling me, to keep up with it all. Do you know what? I like it that way. In fact, keep it to yourself, but I even like there being so many missing episodes. I'm not saying that if they were all intact, I'd be down at Television Centre petitioning them to chuck some in the incinerator. But not having them means that there's always something out there that remains genuinely unknown. From past experience, it's always heart-stoppingly exciting on those rare occasions when a missing episode turns up. At once our knowledge is expanded in new and unexpected ways, whether it be the unexpected delight of Troughton in a cloak, or the realisation that trying to conclusively identify just which Dalek delegate is which would probably drive you mad. There's still so much I don't know. Since those gloriously ignorant days of the 1970s, I've become very familiar with such greats as An Unearthly Child and The Robots of Death, to name but 2. At the same time, though, there are a great number of stories about which I still know very little. Marco Polo, The Space Pirates, even Underworld, which I must have watched as a kid but which totally failed to make any impression. Not to mention the not insignificant fact that we're getting more brand new stories every year. As much as I think I know about Doctor Who, I also know there's so much more left to discover. As a certain Time Lord once said, I love not knowing, keeps me on my toes. When I was a Time Tot in the 70s, I loved finding out new things about Doctor Who. And more than 30 years later, I still love it. Thank you.
You've been listening to You and Who Talking, presented by Rob Irwin with J.R. Southall. The You and Who books, from which all royalties are paid to charity, are available in print and for Kindle from watchingbooks.weebly.com.